Welcome to worship, everyone. I'm Kim Engelman. I'm the pastor here. I'm so glad that you can be with us this morning. Is it Christmas or Thanksgiving? It looks like it's Christmas now, right? I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And we are actually in the first Sunday of Advent, if you can believe that. So we are on our way to Christmas. We're going to be lighting the Advent wreath this morning. You can see the poinsettias around.
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts before you this day, on this first day of December and this first Sunday of the Advent season. We rejoice in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, whom you sent to be the light of our world. We marvel that in Jesus all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. We thank you for inviting us to receive Jesus into our lives, for in his fullness we have received grace upon grace. And we praise you for your glorious majesty and steadfast love, which endures forever. Father, we confess our sin, which daily entangles us. Particularly during the holiday season, we confess the quickness with which we allow the pressures and worries of the world to crowd you out. We ask for your forgiveness and pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit to inspire us to fix our eyes upon you, to do good, and to be your hands and feet and your light in our community. Father, many of us enter this holiday season having lost loved ones in the last year. Help us to rejoice in the good memories. Some among us will find the holidays to be especially challenging for various reasons. Help us to encourage one another and to lift each other up in prayer this next month. And Father, for the next few moments, in the silence of this sanctuary and in the quietness of our hearts, we lift up before you those special needs which weigh upon our hearts this morning. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for loving us. And now let us join together as a congregation in reciting the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that you're the light of the world, and illuminate our hearts for the next few minutes as we think about what that means for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we start the series on Jesus, the light of the world, I was trying to think of the darkest place that I'd ever been in. And I remember one time when we were visiting in Kauai, we go there frequently, I decided on my own, it's so stupid of me, and I'm ashamed to even share it with you, really, but I decided to go into one of the caves there by myself to explore it. And you guys didn't want to come with me. My family was on the beach, and I said, oh, I want to go into this cave and explore, and they were on the beach. So I went in, and I didn't have a light. And I think that was really dumb, and I think that because the opening of the cave was so small, I didn't realize how far back it went. So I'm in this cave, and it's completely dark, and I'm going back and back, and for a while I can see because the opening of the cave is there, and the light's shining through, but then I'm making turns, and I'm going here, going there, and all of a sudden I realize that I am in utter darkness, and I just stopped. I froze right where I was, and I realized I couldn't move. Now, I could have turned around, but I wasn't sure I'd be able to see, and just for a minute, I was kind of panicking there, standing in the dark. And then I started to get kind of squeamish. I thought, oh, what's above me? You know, this is called the wet cave. And I was like in a wet cave. I couldn't see, right? What's above me? And then I started to think, what's underneath me, you know? And, you know, and then you know how, like, when you can't see anything, you're standing in the dark, you can kind of not have your bearings, and I started to feel a little unbalanced, and, you know, there wasn't anything around me to hold on to because the cave was pretty wide, and I'll tell you there, you know, I'm just going to lose my balance. I'm standing in pitch black. I needed a light, right? And I didn't have one. Well, luckily, somebody else, a couple minutes, I just stood there thinking, what am I going to do? Because I can't see and I'm scared to move. Somebody else was exploring the cave too that day, and they had a cheap little flashlight, and they came up with this little tiny, you know, stream of light on a weak battery, and they said, do you have a light? You know, like, kind of trying to be nice about it. I knew they thought that I was really dumb, stupid. And I said, no. And they said, well, let us help you. And even though it was just this little tiny stream of light, you could barely see it, just that little bit of light made all the difference. And I followed them back out to the front of the cave there. You know, when light moves in the midst of darkness, even a little tiny bit of light, it makes a huge impact, right? We need that light. You know, it shows you what's really going on around you. So when Jesus entered the world as the light of the world, it changed everything. You know, it cut history in half. People saw their sin, but they also saw God's grace illuminating their lives in a whole new way. People recognized who God was, and the whole Christian faith was born. Jesus as the light of the world had a big impact, because when the light of the world moves in, things start to happen. Now, God is light. Scripture tells us that. And the first thing that God created in the book of Genesis, what was it? It's not a trick question. You can do this. Light, right? Light, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, God said, let there be light. First item on the agenda when creating the world, there was light. Before this, darkness was upon the face of the deep, Genesis tells us. The word in Hebrew, create, is a special word that is only used in Scripture when referring to what God does. It isn't used for what people do. The world word is just for God, because only God can create something out of nothingness. We can't do that. Only God can bring light out of darkness. And what he did in creation, in Genesis, he does in human lives all the time, right? That's why we sing that old hymn, Amazing Grace, you know, I once was blind, now I see. God's constantly helping us to see him better. C.S. Lewis puts it this way, I believe in God the same way that I believe in a sunrise. I not only see the sun rising, but by its light, I see everything else. Isn't that a great quote? I love that quote. Scripture declares, in you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So when God moves in, light moves in. When we see God, illumination happens, darkness is dispelled, and we are aware of things we never had any inkling about before. So what I want you to do is take out your bookmark. This, you're going to get one of these every Sunday in Advent. Are you excited? It's going to have the scripture on it for the day that we're talking about. Now, there's the Isaiah passage at the top there, and that's also in Ryan's devotional. Now, this is a pop open bookmark quiz. First question, what kind of light did the people who walked in darkness see? Was it a little tiny beam of white light shining out from weak batteries and a cheap flashlight? It was a great light. The light of Christ was a great light. Okay. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. It's a big light. Second question. What kind of darkness was it that people were walking in? Was it twilight or hazy mist or partly cloudy with a chance of sun? Deep darkness. You see the contrast there? Great light, deep darkness. All right, so you have these two polarities. Now, people are walking in deep darkness. How do you do that? You know? There are hazards all around you. You don't know are there. You could be going the wrong way if you're walking in deep darkness. You might fall off a cliff. You might walk into a pit. Who knows? You have no way of telling what might be out there ready to pounce on you. Uh-oh. Right? Or what's in your way that you might fall over and crack your head on. People were walking in deep darkness. So when you're walking in deep darkness, you don't have a clue where you're going either, right? You can't see or know your direction. Walking in deep darkness is scary business and confusing and just stupid. So what is implied here then is that people don't know they're in darkness, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be walking around. Well, that's a dumb thing to do. When the power goes out on your street, you have a power outage, do you say, oh good, this is great, let's go take a walk. You know, you're not going to take a walk until you get a light source in there. Well, deep darkness is contrasted with a great light because we're supposed to get a clue as to the great impact Jesus made when he came to the world. We were so dark that we didn't even know we were in darkness. Ever hear that phrase, you know, they don't know they have a problem, they have to find out they have a problem before they can get help? So we're kind of in that state. We didn't even know we were in darkness. And God's great light entered our deep darkness. And we celebrate that at Christmas, okay? What an impact that makes for us. Now that means at least three things for us. I'm going to go through these points very quickly. The first one is we've got to get adjusted to the light. So if you've been in a dark room for a long time and then you go out into the sun, what happens? You need to get adjusted, right? For a minute, you're blinded. And the contrast is so great, you actually can't see anything for a while. And that's why we celebrate the season of Advent, to prepare ourselves for the coming of the light of Christ. Why don't we just jump into Christmas? We could celebrate it all month. We kind of are by celebrating Advent, but we know Advent to be a time of preparation, adjusting our eyes so that we can see what this great light is trying to reveal to us. At this time of Advent, I'm hoping that even though it's very busy, you take time to pray a little bit more. You spend a little more time in the scriptures during this season. We celebrate Advent so that we can take this in gradually and prayerfully so that when Christmas comes, when that great light appears, we will be able to truly celebrate and see who Jesus is and why he came in a deeper, fuller way. And I'd like you to pray for that this Christmas. I'd like you to pray that Christmas will be a time when Jesus' great light, the light of his presence, will dawn upon your heart and you will be able to see him with greater clarity and truth, even though maybe you've been a Christian all your life. Would you do that? I was talking to someone recently who has been a Christian all of her life. She's seen Christmases come and go, and it all seemed nice, but was not really awe-inspiring. Pretty quaint, traditional, all that, sweet. But sitting in a church service just recently, she had a profound sense of God's presence very near to her and all around her. And she shared this experience with me, and it was powerful. She was moved to tears, and she said to me, you know, the message that came to me through this awareness of God's presence is that God has always been so present for his people, so close, so available, wanting, desiring a relationship with his people, but we couldn't see it. We were blinded. You see that deep darkness on us. We're stumbling around. We don't realize God is right there. And she said to me, that's why Jesus came. That's why Emmanuel, God with us, was born, so we could see that truth, so we could get how close he is, how available, and how much he desires to be in relationship with us. See, Christmas is the greatest love story ever written. Christmas tells us that we have a God who wants to be with us. He isn't forced to be with us. He wants to be with us. He is an I am with you God. And he made this great descent at Christmas to show us this. So getting adjusted to the light for you might be as simple as recognizing the reality of God's closeness to you this Christmas and reaching out to him with renewed faith. Second, when a great light enters into our deep darkness, we've got to be willing to follow the light. Second passage on your bookmark, you have the story of the shepherds there, and the glory of the Lord blazes around these shepherds. And I'm sure that at first the shepherds shielded their eyes, became accustomed to the whole landscape draped in the light of the heavenly host. And as they do all that, and they become accustomed to this light that's blazing all around them, their plans were changed. What they thought they were going to do all night was stand out in a dark field and watch sheep. And instead, the heavenly host, the angels said, you know, no, leave your sheep there. Go find Jesus. Go find the light of the world. Turn around, go back into the city, find him and worship him. And this wasn't exactly what those shepherds were planning to do. Sometimes when we've been in darkness for a long time, it's hard to shift set. It's hard sometimes to hear God speaking to us because the darkness and sin of this world separates us so much from God. We don't even know he's there, as I said before. It's not always clear to us what we're supposed to do. You know, we're not like the shepherds where we get this clear, direct guidance. Maybe it comes in a whisper or a nudge. And I know that some of you have shared this with me, that you have a sense about a certain calling or purpose that you've felt nudged by the Holy Spirit to pursue. And pursuing this calling or purpose would mean a change for you somehow, in some way. And you just aren't sure what the next step should be. And the unknown is kind of scary, and you just haven't had the time or wherewithal to pursue it further. And I want to encourage any of you who might be seeing the light in terms of a slightly different direction in your life to maybe spend a little time during this Advent season just exploring that sense of call through prayer, talking to other Christians. And this isn't for all of you, just some of you who may be being asked to leave the sheep on the hillside, leave the doing of what you've always done and move closer to encountering Jesus this Christmas by going in a new direction. And I just felt like I needed to say that this morning to some of you, but I also want to encourage every one of you to pay attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit this Advent and pray about how to follow his leadings and promptings more completely. And maybe it's time to risk in faith, leaving the sheep on the hillside, or most of them anyway, was a risk. But the light of the glory of the Lord in that darkness trumped any fear or concern those shepherds had about leaving their fields. Francis Chan states this. He says, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through. If he asks you to leave the sheep on the hillside, take the risk. Go for it. When you follow the light of Christ's guidance, God will come through for you. And finally, just as the great light of Christ had a huge impact on the deep darkness of our world, so, this is number three, we've got to allow Christ's light to shine through us so that we can make an impact too. Jesus said he was the light of the world, but he also said that you and I are the light of the world, and that means that just as he made an impact on our dark and sorry planet, so we're meant to make a difference too. The light of Christ's presence lives in us and is meant to shine out of us, and if we're so bold to use Christ's name, which we do every time we say we're a Christian, that means the little Christ. We need to recognize that we aren't here at church just to amass more information about God and think about doing good things and feel better about ourselves because we are in church and happy with our friends. It has much more to do with making an impact. You and I are the light of the world. Impact makers, change agents for Jesus Christ. And again, Francis Chan, two more quotes from him. He was just right on for me this week. He says this, God's definition of what matters is pretty straightforward. He measures our lives by how we love. And again, he says, I believe God wants us to love others so much that we go to extremes to help them. In closing, I want to share with you a testimony of a man who had an NDE, a near-death experience, and he comes to Christ, and you know what the one thing Christ asks him, and you get variations on this, but I just thought this was interesting. The one question Christ asks him as he sees Jesus in near-death experience is, what did you do for your fellow human beings while you were on earth? You know, Jesus doesn't ask him, what were your views on this or that issue? What were your good intentions? What did you wish or think about doing? He doesn't ask him, how many times did you go to church or how many Bible verses did you memorize? The question was very simple and direct. What did you do to help people out, to make an impact, to change a life, to go the extra mile, to be the light of the world, to help them see in the darkness? What did you do? How did you help them? You see, we have the light of the world living in us. It's incumbent upon us to share it and not hide. So this Christmas, I'd like you to remind yourself again and again that you are the light of the world if you know Jesus Christ. Christ's light shines through you, and you're meant to make an impact on this world for Jesus Christ. And, of course, each one of us is going to do that in a different way. But in order to remind yourself of this, that you are meant to make an impact, I'd like you to do something for me this Christmas. Anytime you see Christmas lights, and I love Christmas lights. I'm a sucker for Christmas lights. I especially like white lights. But anytime you see Christmas lights and you particularly appreciate the way that they look. And the reason I'm saying this is some don't look so great. You haven't seen those, you know, displays and you're like, ah. But anytime you feel drawn into a beautiful display of Christmas lights, I want you to say, Jesus, the light of the world, shines through me. We have a very dark street, and at the bottom of our hill, when we come down this very dark hill, there's a shopping center, and it's just arrayed in white lights, and I always feel good when I see that. It's like it brightens up the whole landscape. Anytime you see it, think, Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus shines through me. I want you to remember what a high calling this is and how desperate the world is for the light of Christ that lives within you. And I just want to close with a brief response. Go out and share the light of Christ. Make an impact. Dispel the darkness. And you say,
Jesus is the light of the world, and now his light shines through me.
Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you that you're the light of the world, and we continue to be amazed at what you show us in our Christian walk. Things that we never thought possible, you illuminate to us. And you tell us that we should seek after you so that we can make an impact on the world. We're so glad that you came, Lord, at Christmas, and we're so glad too, Lord, that you are present in this supper of bread and juice that we're going to partake of right now. Lord, as we think about your light living in us, we're also aware that as we tangibly take the bread and the juice that symbolizes your life in us, we do so in faith, knowing that this isn't just a ritual or a symbol, although it is all of that, but it's also a way in which you show us your grace and the truth of your living presence within us. So I pray, Lord, as we take this communion today, we would remember that you died for us and you loved us enough to come to earth and be our Savior and that our sins are forgiven, but also to remember that your very life, the very life of your presence is within us, the light of the world. Illumine our eyes to see you in a new way this Christmas and help us to make an impact for you. In Jesus' name, amen. May you have a wonderful start to this Advent season. May you know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May you be filled up with the fullness of the light of his presence. And may you go forth from this place in peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.